Welcome to Super Action Bros, the podcast where we talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And I'm sorry, I can't do this.
What? What do you mean?
I can't.
Ian.
What did we just watch, Ryan?
We watched Buckaroo Banzai.
Across the Eighth Dimension.
Yeah. Oh. The Adventures of.
What?
All right, well, welcome to Super Action Bros. My name's Ryan. This is the moaning wreck over in the corner is Ian.
I'm Ian.
You want me to, why don't I do the part where we talk about how you can talk to us?
Okay.
While you deal with this.
Let me just sit in the fetal position.
Super Action Bros, you can find out more about us at superactionbros.com. A couple of different ways to reach out to us. We're on the Twitters at Super Action Bros. Send us an email, superactionbros@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Super Action Bros. You can search for us on iTunes if you are wanting to listen to our podcast, though at this point, chances are you're already sort of listening. We're also on Letterboxd, the sort of film review websites, letterboxd.com. Anything I'm missing?
We're also part of the Stuff and Things podcast network, stuffandthingsnetwork.com, where you can listen to shows where I don't feel like I just want to go
emotional
to sleep
breakdown.
And not wake up.
It's okay, Ian. The world still exists.
I'll never get that time back, Ryan.
No, but we had,
we had a time fun. Watching it. We watched it together. We're recording this right after watching. This is really fresh.
Yeah. Oh man, the burn. It still kind of burns a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, Ryan. So Buckaroo Banzai and some garbage. What is it?
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, made in 1984, starring RoboCop himself, Peter Weller.
Yes.
We've got Dr. Ian Malcolm in this movie. I mean, Jeff Goldblum.
So many good people, Ryan.
There are, like, everybody is in this movie.
Everybody.
It's got... John Lithgow.
Christopher Lloyd. A lot of character actors.
Vincent Chevalier. Yeah, like if you go to the That Guy Actors page, if you don't know what I'm talking about, literally Google That Guy Actors.
Yeah.
Half of the people on that page are in this movie somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's a movie sort of...
Is it a movie, Ryan?
What is a movie?
Would you classify this? I think a movie has to have a clear, cohesive plot, don't you?
I mean,
unless
plot.
It's an art film. Are you going to argue that Buckaroo Banzai is an art film, Ryan? Is this the David Lynch of 80s action movies?
Oh, man, I probably
I
could
wanted
argue
to
that.
Make Buckaroo Banzai, but instead I made Blue Velvet.
Oh. Dune.
We should watch Dune.
Oh, I don't know if we should watch Dune.
Why not?
Because I've read the book several times and watched the movie
then
once.
That's good. Then you can know my pain for watching Buckaroo Banzai.
But okay, there's not like a book to read.
Let me explain. There's actually comic books. And apparently it was supposed to be a sequel based on the end of that movie, but...
Okay, you explain and then I'll sort of...
Ryan, here's why I'm not going to bury the lead on this. I'm disappointed.
No way, you?
Because I had a lot looking forward to me. I watched the beginning and I was like, this is promising and maybe we'll get to some more explanation of what's going on here as the movie goes on. And I've heard a lot of things. I've heard people who I really trust and like opinions of like, this is a good, bad movie. And I'm like, all right, I'm excited to watch it. It was not a good, bad movie to me. Like let's be honest. There are points that are funny and silly and there's a couple points, but it's like, and it, once again, this is one, and I'll be honest, kids,
okay.
Cover your ears.
Uh-oh.
This is like one you should get like really drunk with your friends and watch, like really drunk. Like,
I don't know if it would be better.
Everything.
Or,
no,
like I think you might just fall asleep.
At some point, you just need to do something where everything is funny. Whatever gets you to that point where everything is funny. Sleep deprivation. This would be good to watch at 4 in the morning. Or maybe it wouldn't be because I almost fell asleep again. I almost fell asleep worse than Godzilla, and that's saying something. That being said.
Wow. Whoa.
That being said.
You just said the phrase, worse than Godzilla.
Meaning I wanted to fall asleep more here than I did when I was watching Godzilla. That's saying something. Now, does that mean this is better than the worst than Godzilla? I will say this. I would rather watch this again than watch Godzilla again. I could watch this again in like 2 years and probably enjoy it a little bit more.
Some of the sting will have been removed.
This is also my first time watching it. So maybe it's like, you know what? Maybe I'm being a little too harsh now that I'm thinking about it. Maybe, because I remember when we did the Big Trouble in Little China episode, you kind of felt like, I don't know. Isn't it? And then the more you thought about it, you're like, no, the more that movie sat with me, I enjoyed it more. And I think maybe this will be my Big Trouble in Little China. Maybe the more this movie sits with me for a bit. But my initial impression is, what did I just watch?
Oh, man.
Because I wasn't quite sure what was going on.
Most of the time.
I mean, okay.
So, I mean, the basic plot is Buckaroo Banzai breaks open the gateway to the eighth dimension.
Can we even ask, is there a MacGuffin? Is there themes in this movie? What does anyone want? Sure. Is there anything?
Yeah.
The MacGuffin, of course, we know.
Is the overthruster.
The thing everybody wants. So what does everybody want?
The overthruster.
Okay, sure. Then we'll go with that. That's fine.
That's that little beeping thing.
That's right. Wow. What a deep idea.
What's a MacGuffin? You need to explain it.
A MacGuffin is something
Raiders that, of the Lost Ark.
Something that everybody wants. In this movie, Buckaroo Banzai, it would be the end of the movie. That's what Ian wanted.
Where they're walking in the LA River Basin?
Guys, just to be honest, I'm kidding. I know a lot of people actually worked really hard on this movie. It was, let's put it this way.
You're breaking some hearts right now.
I'm sure I am. I'm just teasing. It was not that bad. I was just a little disappointed. I'm just on it. I'll be honest. It's when you're expecting, you know, that special gift on Christmas morning. You go downstairs and you open it up, and it's something that's okay.
You asked your parents for a Tyco RC Turbo Hopper.
You asked your parents for,
and they give you
a cool G.I. Joe with a talking backpack.
One of those remote control cars that has a foot and a half wire, and then a button that when you push it, it goes forward, and then you push it again, and it goes backward and reverses to the left.
I told this story very briefly on Stephen Things, but I'll tell it here again. It's like when I was with my great grandmother. It was like my birthday or Christmas, I can't remember, but I remember I'm a musician as well as like a podcaster and all the various other junk I do. But
he's multi-talented. He's a Renaissance man.
Yeah, sure. But I remember like my grandma's like, I got you this because you're like into music, and so ooh, I thought you'd like it. And it was like a box shape, like a shoebox size, and that's usually guitar pedals come in that shape. So I was like, did my dad tell her something, or did my dad like sneakily buy something and be like, here, give this to Ian, he'll like it. And what it was, I opened the box and it was a child's like Fisher Price style set of like electronic bongos. I had to look my grandmother in the eye as she goes, you can use this for your music, right?
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I go, yeah.
Thanks, Grandma.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Oh, man.
And that's how I felt Buckaroo Banzai. It was all this buildup, and then it was just, yeah, okay, thanks for
and
this.
No, I feel like this was more like you expected that and you open it up and it's most of the pieces of a disassembled electric guitar.
No, it's in those movies and cartoons where they get these children's play toys and like, okay, only has 1500 steps and some assembly required.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of parts.
Well, and so
it's like, it's the IKEA furniture of movies. Some people can figure it out. Some people have a hard time.
Oh man. I feel like you're starting to get at what I liked about this movie.
Okay.
Let me deliver you some of my theory of this movie.
Go for it.
There's a theory in art, that every piece of art is sort of the two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional concept.
Okay.
Does that make sense, kind of?
Okay.
And so, you know, you are only seeing it from one angle, where in reality it's this whole thing that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only seeing a little chunk of it the way someone interprets it.
Okay.
And so I feel like this is just sort of like a little pinpoint into the Buckaroo Banzai universe. And it's funny, if you read sort of the history of this movie on Wikipedia, the people who wrote this movie wrote like dozens or maybe even hundreds of Buckaroo Banzai stories. They said they started like 60 scripts and then eventually sort of coalesced them into this movie.
That's the problem, though.
But at the same time, like, we're just sort of getting a glimpse into this incredible universe. We're to the eighth dimension. And
Ryan,
wait, hold on.
What was incredible about it? It was like, hey, speaking of Renaissance men, Buckaroo Banzai is like, I'm a surgeon and a scientist and a rock and roll star.
I might as well
be an astronaut and bartender.
Like,
so it's basically
like 80s nerd Scott Pilgrim.
Sort of. Okay. You don't invoke his holy name. Don't.
He's in a rock band.
Don't put Brian Lee O'Malley and Edgar Wright's fantastic movie, which we should probably watch on the show.
Oh, man.
Don't do that with Buckaroo Banzai. I'll be on. Okay. Ryan, just keep trying to up my spirits here.
So, I mean,
make me like this, Ryan.
You ever watched The Venture Brothers?
Bits and pieces.
All right. One of the best episodes of The Venture Brothers is, I believe it's called Escape from Spider Skull Island Part 2.
Okay.
And it's part 2 of a 3-part episode.
Okay.
Part 1 and part 3 don't exist.
All right. Okay. I get what you're getting at here.
You know, we've talked about sequels before and how the first sequel sets everything up and it's kind of boring because we got the origin stories of everybody.
Yeah.
And then the second sequel, they do the classic sequel escalation where everything gets bigger and it's really exciting, but there's no need for there to be any finality and it's just exciting and action and you already know everything that's going on, so you can just jump right into the insanity. And the third sequel has to wrap everything up. This is the second one.
Okay. But where's the first one, Ryan?
No, the first one doesn't exist. First one's in your mind. Ryan, you gotta make it up yourself.
Can I ask you something? And I'm just gonna be honest with you. Are you sure you're not? This isn't your like coping mechanism for trying to like the movie.
I'm not gonna say it's not my coping mechanism.
Are you just trying to find order in the chaos?
Like, there's so many individual elements that are really cool.
Ryan, chaos
Ian,
theory.
As Peter Weller said, wherever you go, there you are.
No. When he wore bow ties and suits, and then I'm starting to realize, like, Stephen Moffat's like, I think that Matt Smith put that costume together. No, he didn't. You just stole it from Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh man, can you imagine a modern remake of this movie? For the first thing, we'd be introduced with Buckaroo Banzai giving a TED talk.
You know what? Okay, looking through what you're telling me here, I guess in that sense, I can say I can understand it. And based on viewing it through that prism of like, listen, this is the second part of a movie where we never saw the first part. Through
it's
that
got so
prism,
many cool individual things. Like
through that prism,
science action hero who's got a rock band and also is a surgeon.
You know what? Through
and
that
interdimensional
prism,
travel.
Through that prism, I would like. I feel like here's why. I feel like this is my big trouble in Little China. I feel like three episodes from now, I'm going to be like, you know what? I was totally wrong about Buckaroo Banzai, and I'm sorry, but right now I got to go with my gut, and my gut's telling me no, Ian. That's not how you feel. And I love everybody in this movie. I love Peter Weller. I love Jeff Goldblum. I love John Lithgow. And I love John Lithgow. Like, there are parts of this movie where John Lithgow made me laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. And not because he keeps calling Christopher Lloyd a silly name, which Christopher Lloyd barely had a role in this. He wasn't even get to be Christopher Lloyd.
He just sort of shouted a lot.
He did.
And it shouted that his name is Big Booty.
Not Big Booty. He keeps calling him Big Booty. But my favorite, like, all the aliens. Okay, we're not. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. This movie is so wacky. I can't even think we could do a plot synopsis. It's like a series of scenes they put together that somehow resemble a story. That's the only way I can describe what I watch. But it feels like reading
half of a couple of comic books.
Right. Now, that's the best way to put it. Now, for when I say that, I don't want you artsy film nerds to be like, oh, it's like a Terrence Malick, like 80s action movie. No. Can we call this? That's the other question. Can we call this an action movie?
I mean,
were we duped, Ryan? Were we duped into thinking this is something that it wasn't?
So there was a point in the movie where you see the bad guys speed away in this van,
right?
Having kidnapped the scientist, mm-hmm. and you see Peter Weller steal a Harley Davidson,
and you're like, "This is it."
And I wrote motorcycle chase, and then nope. That's literally what I wrote in the notes, because then you just see him sort of drive through a tunnel and he's like, oh, well, looks like I lost him. Let's just sort of go wandering down this forest path here on my motorcycle.
Did they mention anything about like budget cuts or anything on this movie?
I mean, it seems like, I mean, the movie could not have been that bit of a budget. It takes place in the alternate universe where everything looks like the basement of a disused LA warehouse.
It's true. And did you write that clever little joke down?
I did write that down.
I like that. I'm
proud of myself. But I mean, one of the cool things, you know, if you think about a lot of other sort of science fiction movies, everything looks really, really, I don't know, weird. Everything mm-hmm. is super cluttered. And why is that watermelon there? And like, that's the whole movie. I think that's the whole movie in a nutshell. Is they're running through some shop.
A cowboy outfit. No one ever addresses it.
They call him New Jersey.
At some point, they go like, "Oh, it was your spurs. Oh, is he making fun of me?" And like, I feel like the answer when they cut away at that point, as if to say, "Oh, they are making fun of him." But I feel like the answer would have been like, "No, man, it's a unique outfit you have on there."
Perfect Tommy, man. Make fun of people.
Perfect Tommy's making fun of people. Yeah. Oh man. Oh my.
I mean, I just feel like there's too much cool stuff in this movie for it to be as terrible as I thought it was.
There's a black kid with a gun. There's, man, there's government. The president has a broken back for some reason. We never find out.
There's a tie-in with Orson Welles' War of the Worlds
broadcast. You know what? That part of the podcast. Did you say podcast?
I said broadcast.
Oh, they said podcast. The War of the Worlds podcast.
Well, we're starting that now.
There's an alien attack 2 weeks ago when we recorded this.
Quietly. So, yeah, watch out for your iPhone.
Yeah. okay. Where is it going with this? Oh, but no, that point about the War of the Worlds broadcast, I enjoyed that. And I liked it. They called it like Orson Welles. You're like, the wine guy? Like, at that point, that's so sad.
Yeah.
The director.
I mean, they could have called him the Unicron guy?
Well, let's be honest. The wine guy is how everybody knew him. The Paul Marsan wine. Have you ever watched those old, like, there's a whole, like, list of outtakes of those online.
I've seen the Pinky and the Brain episode based on those outtakes.
We know a little woman, who works in the... Mm-hmm. Now this is ridiculous. Why would she be getting peas?
Who wrote this
tripe? Yeah. Okay. All right. So
the Pinky the Brain episode is almost word for word.
Continue. What else you liked about it? Like,
I mean, it like everything is, there's just so many little bits of really cool stuff. You can tell that they, like, there's a part in the end where they're sort of running through the yo-yo dine, I guess.
That's
apparently a reference to like a Thomas Pynchon story book, right? He's a writer. Gravity's Rainbow, that's him. All right. That's just what the internet said.
Okay.
I'm just reading quotable quotes.
That's okay.
Just reading trivias. But anyway, so they're just running through Yo-Yo Dine Industries, and it's just like they were like, well, we have this really good couple of location scouts, and they found all these cool places that would look really cool if one of our characters ran through. So let's just shoot a bunch of video of them running through all these different weird places, and then we'll just sort of cut it together. And that basically feels like what happens, right?
No, that's exactly
there's a lot
what
of really cool scenes. You know, he goes through like the fluorescent green draping plastic room, and like the random like sprinkler room, and there's a watermelon, and just like all.
He really liked that watermelon
because it's so silly.
So Ryan and I watched this movie together. Ryan, about 3/4 of the way of the movie, what did I start doing?
You started laying on the floor and pounding your head against the carpet.
Like a child, like a wee child, just wanting it to be over.
And my wife was laying on the couch, facing away from this movie, not watching. And every like 5 or 10 minutes, she would just turn around and look, and she'd be like, oh, is that what's happening now? All right. And like every time it was like something completely different and completely unrelated to what was happening before. I don't know if that's better or worse than the impression I got watching every burning minute of it.
It hurts to talk about.
So those of you who love this movie, and it's, you know, it's interesting, apparently Roger Ebert, when he first reviewed this movie, was like, this is gonna be a cult classic.
Yeah, okay. And that's the thing, it is definitely a cult
movie. It's definitely weird enough, and it looks cool enough, and everybody's outfits are totally strange enough that it's gotta be a cult movie.
A cult movie. It has to be. There's no other way this movie can exist and anybody can like it, because it has to be a cult movie.
I mean, there's so much advanced plaid matching going on in this movie.
Oh god. And the end of this movie is atrocious.
The end.
The very, very end.
Are you talking about the part where they're walking around, or the spaceship part?
Well, all of it is awful. Okay, so they, the very end, is they blow up a spaceship with a single shot, and then he kisses
his
lady girl friend lady,
who's like the long lost twin sister of his ex-wife.
Dead ex-wife.
Is she dead, is she gone?
I don't know. They made it seem like she was dead.
I feel like they made it.
And then they were kissy pantsing in his trailer or his bus, and then they roll down the blinds, and then one of the aliens, this is what happens. Okay, I'm gonna tell you word for word what happens at the end of this movie. Ready?
Uh-huh.
We might Tarantino it a little bit.
Okay,
so it ends with Buckaroo Banzai kissing a dead girl alive with and shooting electricity into her body to wake her alive again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which we called right before it happened.
Right. Well, actually, you called. I'll be fair, but I kind of I agree with you.
Yeah.
So they she's alive, and they start kissing like hardcore heavy petting.
She like grabs his face, and
they close the blinds. And as if it was a 1970s senior school photo, like from the background, this like fade in of this alien that says something. I don't know what he says.
I don't remember
exactly
what he said. He was,
and then the movie
like,
fades to black.
Well, and don't forget that we're looking at these horizontal. What do you call those?
Just horizontal blinds with Japanese
with Japanese character black blinds with red Japanese text on them, like saying something apparently.
And and then it just jumps to Buckaroo Banzai will return. I'm like, oh man. Like,
and then it jumps to everybody sort of jauntily walking in the LA River.
It's true. It had this like really like okay, that's the one thing I will say that this movie that made me smile is the soundtrack. The soundtrack in this movie is so utterly terrible, but it's so utterly good because utterly terrible.
Like you expect, like, and you can tell how ridiculous the soundtrack is by the rock band scene. Because Buckaroo Banzai, they mentioned that he happens to be a rock star.
They let Peter Weller sing in this movie.
Yeah, they do. and so you see his rock band, and his rock band is three saxophones. One guy's playing two saxophones at once.
William Murderface is playing a saxophone, from what I can tell.
Yes, he is. Oh, man. It's the guy, if you've watched Metalocalypse, the guy has Murderface hair. Like
hardcore.
Exactly.
Like I will tell you this. It's worth watching at least four quarter of this movie just to see that. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. You'll know the guy. You can't miss
it. So you see that, and then you've got Perfect Tommy plays rhythm guitar, and you got a bass player, and then you have a guy playing hexagonal electronic drums. And then Peter Weller just comes out on the, and they're playing just kind of like a doo-wop song, and then he just comes up on stage and starts shredding on his white electric guitar. And until he says, wait, somebody in this audience is not having fun. Turn off the music.
Can you imagine if you were
crying?
Could you imagine if you were at a concert? Who's not having fun here? Refuse to play more songs until you tell me. What's your name? Penny. Peggy? No, it's Penny.
All right, Peggy, I'm going to play you a song. And then she tries to kill herself and fails and gets arrested.
Okay, Ryan, the more we talk about it, the more I'm starting to like this movie. I'm like starting to like this movie in a Mystery Science Theater 3000 sort of way.
Sure.
Where I could just make fun of all the little bits.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, it's sort of
it's
insane.
Not as bad as like The Room. Okay, it's not that bad.
Well, I haven't seen
that.
Oh, I know you've seen that several times.
I watched The Room once, and I've watched clips of The Room a lot online to remember the one time I watched it where it made me chuckle. I feel like we should watch The Room, but not for this podcast because it has no action whatsoever.
Well, and neither does unless you count
adult situations action, because there is a lot of adult situations. Not in this film, though.
No,
this film is very family friendly.
Except
for the most part,
there's some shooting and some weird aliens.
Yeah,
red electroids and black electroids.
Okay, so let's try to make sense of that.
I want to hear you give me a brief synopsis of the plot.
So my understanding is that Buckaroo Banzai's parents theorize that other alien worlds are not other planets necessarily, but they're other dimensions that are parallel to ours where alien life exists. So, and that theory is proven true in the beginning where he drives through the using this what they call him?
Over thruster.
Through like dimensional they drives through this mountain.
Jet car.
And with his jet car.
Yeah, sort of like a jet.
And he sees like this other dimension with some monsters that hit his car and this and that. And this little like piece of brain thing or whatever. And he's like, look, it's a creature from another dimension. So I have proof that it exists. And then he ends up seeing these aliens who, it turns out, are there's this planet with two races of aliens that look very similar. Am I right on this?
Yeah, I think so.
One of them is red and the other one's kind of like a brownish, blackish, tannish. Yeah. I'm not sure what color, but not red. And the red ones are evil.
Yes.
And I don't know if they used to be like the overlords of the planet and the other guys like overthrew them because they were evil.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I
got.
And so they trapped them in this alternate dimension.
Yeah.
And so what they're trying to do is some of them have escaped this alternate dimension and they're trying to go back home through that dimensional plane to take over the planet again.
I think they're trying to
Does that sound pretty much like what I'm on par with? And John Lithgow was a scientist who's trying to get into this other dimension, comes into contact with these aliens and goes crazy and thinks he's like one of them or part of their...
Yeah, I feel like one of them took over his body.
Or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if he just went crazy. They never really explain it. Like, did he go crazy?
But I feel like they were doing...
You know what? I think you're right. Or like somehow he got fused with them because they powered on electricity. In the beginning of the movie, he electrocutes himself. So yeah, this feels like a comic book where I didn't read the first two issues of the arc. I'm just right in the middle of the third issue. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, and I feel like, you know, the J.J. Abrams theory of the black box, right? If you look at Star Wars, the Force is more exciting before you knew about midichlorians.
Right,
It's better to maybe have some mystery left.
Sure.
I feel like this movie takes that to an extreme.
Yes, it does.
It's like, we're going to explain nothing.
Yep.
How does the overthruster work? It does. Why is that watermelon there? We're never going to find out.
Why is this like a...
The president's calling. President of who?
Why is this early 90s Lenny Kravitz jumping out of this giant ball? No, why is one half of Milli Vanilli jumping out of this giant ball? Well, he is. And the other half died, hit his head. He had an oopsie.
He hit his head and now he's dead. They said that specifically because it rhymed.
So the question though, Ryan, going back to that we didn't answer.
Why is everybody's name John?
Is it? I don't know. John Smallberries. Do you think there's a band out there, like a punk band out there named John Smallberries?
There because
there
be should be like point, a nerd right?
punk band out there with that name.
I mean, they gotta have like a synthesizer. They gotta play like a weird synthesizer, like a Buchla or something.
So Ryan, going back to our question though, is this an action movie?
I feel like it has pretensions to be an action movie.
It tries.
I feel like it's one of those. I feel like it's almost like Big Trouble in Little China.
Right.
But that does have actual legitimate action.
Correct.
But I feel like this is one of those where like it's more, it's almost more exciting in theory than it is an actual point of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the idea of this movie is really cooler than the movie itself.
Right.
And I feel like it's one of those movies where like in like 6 weeks, I'm going to think about this movie and I'm just going to have impressions of the stuff that I thought was really cool. And I'm like, yeah, that was really cool.
Like if I saw this,
Jet Car was neat.
If I saw this at a young age, mm-hmm. it would be like a Big Trouble in Little China for me. It'd be like, yeah. I remember this movie being really great. And maybe that's why everybody I've talked to about it, maybe they saw it at a younger age mm-hmm. and it like had that stick to it. Like Big Trouble in Little China did with me. Like yeah. I had that like impression of, oh, this movie was really cool. And I remember like Kurt Russell was the toughest BA of them all, you know, but mm-hmm. he's very likely not. Speaking of Big Trouble, I know we keep comparing and contrasting. They just released a comic book sequel to Big Trouble in Little China
mm-hmm.
that is fantastic.
Is it?
The first issue, I won't give away too much, but let's just say it picks up right where the movie leaves off.
Okay.
With that big old nasty demon on his car.
Porkchop Express.
Yep. On his truck. And then it turns out the demon likes him like a pet. It's not trying to kill him. It likes him like a pet.
Which and seems like also, the perfect, the per, it seems exactly like that movie.
And what's funny is because every time I read any dialogue, I hear Jack Burton's voice in my head.
With the sunglasses and the CB radio.
Oh, he has it too. I got to get you a copy of this. It's so good. Anyway, that. But yeah, take a look. If you, I know it's a little more four color commentary than our than Super Action Bros.
But this
Bros.
Is but, this but it's is related. Very much and it's interesting because this movie is really really rooted in. Have you ever watched any of the old Flash Gordon serials?
Here and there, yeah. This seems like a really long serial. That's what this seems like. But maybe that's why.
I remember like in college, I was like, you know what. All the stuff in the past is way cooler than stuff now, and stuff's in the public domain, and it was when archive.org was starting to be a big thing.
Right.
And they had, like, all of the 1930s Flash Gordon serials. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm, you know, modern stuff is dumb. I'm going to watch this stuff. And watching those, like, nothing is ever resolved. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, oh, we're going to go do this, and then this happened, and now we're doing this, but then this is happening. Like, it's just, like, there's no, like, you'd think there'd be an overarching story, but mm-hmm. it's like they keep getting diverted from the overarching story. It's like, oh, we got to go rescue the princess. Oh, but now we're going over here, and then now that we're here, this is happening, and now there's over here, and, like, you know, 10 episodes in, you're like, weren't they, like, on, like, a mission of some kind? Like, didn't some plot matter? And it's like, no, it only matters like what's happening in the last 5 minutes. And I feel like this takes a lot from that because so clearly
it's like if a goldfish was writing a movie.
Well, I mean,
it only matters from minute to minute. They don't cognize their own demise. It's like an animal's writing a movie. They don't think about the end. They just go from moment to moment. I'm hungry now. I'm sleepy now. I want to play now. I'm hungry again.
It's like my 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Now I'm Batman. No, now I'm Superman. Now you're Batman. No, now I'm a captain. Now you're the captain.
Aye, aye,
now you're Captain Mr. Ian. Aye, aye, Captain.
That was his.
Now I want my shark shoes.
This describes the evening before Ryan invited me over to spend some time with his lovely family. This is an episode that's going all over the map.
Yeah.
But much like Buckaroo Banzai, it goes all over the map and it cares not. But that was exactly it. Like mm-hmm. like the yes, Buckaroo Banzai is what goes on in Zeke's mind.
But I feel like it's like if you were, it's almost like an 8-year-old. Came up with the ideas of what's happening. Yeah,
and
movie.
Like they drew like crayon pictures and they put them all together and
they used that as the storyboards.
Yep.
Because if you remember,
it's almost like the writer of this movie was like, "Hey there, son, what you drawing?"
It's if you'll remember when you were 8, and I'm not talking about like doing writing projects for school. I'm talking about like telling stories. Like when you told stories when you were a kid,
it was and then
this happened, and then there was
and that's
these,
what a lot of action
these other guys these. These black like droids, and they were like the good guys, and those other guys were bad. And John Lithgow was like, he's like part of him, like there's an alien inside of him, and he's like evil, but then he's a rock band. Buckaroo Banzai is in a rock band, and then this girl is really sad. And so it turns out that this girl looks exactly like his ex-wife. And then, like, that's kind of how this movie feels.
Yes.
And so It's like really excited. And you see how
my eyes are going wide?
It's really exuberant. No, you look like you're falling asleep.
It's like reading the back of a shampoo bottle, Ryan. Like, here are the ingredients. Like, there's an Nick Swardson joke, like, where he talks about, like, oh, like my nephew comes up to me and does Pokemon. He's like, and this guy does this, and this guy does this, and this guy does this. And you're like, he's like, uh-huh. Hey, do me a favor. Can you read this shampoo bottle and these ingredients? Because that's the same amount of interest I have for what you're talking about right now. Like, that's the same level of understanding.
I feel like, so it's like,
and
this, like,
and this, and this.
It's
and
overloaded this, with this. Cool ideas.
This has zinc oxide.
But they're
form.
Just not like connected together. Sodium lauryl sulfate.
Yes. No. To be fair, yeah, it has
riboflavin.
A lot of like it has a lot of like really silly fun imagery. Like there's some goofy fun things in this movie, but like I don't know if I could watch it again anytime soon without... I mean, I'm going to have to let it sit with me. This is going to be the action movie version of The Virgin Suicides. I'm going to be like, wow, that was a really haunting movie, and it's going to stick with me. And then about 2 years down the line, I'll be like, ah, Virgin Suicides, or Buckaroo Banzai, haven't seen that movie in a while. And I'll watch it again and be like, oh, man. Yeah,
that's why I didn't want to watch that again.
Virgin Suicides?
No, I actually have only ever heard the soundtrack.
Oh, the movie's
and it's
great.
One of my favorite
records.
Watch,
we should watch the movie just once.
I kind of don't want to ruin the Virgin Suicide soundtrack
all
by
you need
watching
is,
the movie.
All you need is once, I can guarantee you. It's like the movie Into the Wild is the same for me.
I really like Sofia Coppola's movies.
It's good. You should watch it one time. That's all you need to do. One time. One time day. Watch. Anyway, there's no action in that movie. It's just a lot of sadness.
It's about like teenage girls who kill themselves.
It's a very kind of haunting film. It sticks with you. But yeah, Buckaroo Banzai. We keep going away from it because I don't know what else there is to say.
It's
at this juncture. I mean,
feel like it's
put it this way.
I mean, have you seen what am I? I'm trying to think of. It's very and it's in a to a certain extent very postmodern.
Okay,
it's the kind
all
of
right.
thing.
All right,
it's the kind of thing that you, at least for me, the way I like to watch movies is and it drives my wife nuts. We'll go see a movie in the theater, and she'll be like, "Oh, what'd you think?" I'll be like, "Oh, it's pretty good." And like the next day. She'll be like, oh, so what did you think about the movie last night? I'd be like, oh, it's kind of crappy. She'd be like, but you liked it last night? And I'd be like, yeah, but I thought about it. And so this is that kind of movie that like I'm going to digest and think about it. And I feel like it's you just sort of let the thing wash over you. And then eventually your mind sort of puts together what you thought was happening. Because I have in my mind right now, I have a pretty decent concept of a general plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes, you know,
it makes
sense.
General sense.
And there's a lot of sort of diversions and unnecessary bits. And they spend a lot of time doing sort of, it's like you can tell that this director hasn't made a movie before this.
No.
Because there's a lot of time wasted on things that don't matter.
Yep. Is that a watermelon?
Yeah. what's that watermelon doing there? And it there's a lot of... Should we call those watermelon moments?
Yeah.
Watermelon. Oh man, that is
our first.
It's our new term.
Watermelon moments. Stuff that doesn't matter.
Stuff that has no reason for existing.
Watermelon moments. Write that down so we don't forget it.
It's literally the exact opposite of Chekhov's gun.
Yeah. It is just a moment that is mentioned, and it's literally there's a scene in this movie. We keep bearing the lead on it. Where Jeff Goldblum and this kind of one of the other guys in Buckaroo Banzai's band are walking through this room, and there's like a what looks to be like a vice, like a vertical vice with a watermelon between it, and goes, "Hey, what's that watermelon doing there?" He's like, "Oh, don't worry about it," and they just keep going. Like, why was that needed? What did it come up later? No, it was just there. For what reason, Ryan? Why? Why did the watermelon scene have to happen? Why couldn't this movie have been 20 minutes shorter? Why couldn't they use that 20 minutes to give me some exposition? Why did it have to be like I was reading the third issue of a comic book that everyone seemed to know? And I saw there was a first issue because the aliens had it. They had the first issue of Buckaroo Banzai and they didn't show it to us. They didn't show it to us. I would have wished they would have killed Earth because I don't want to live on a world where I don't know what happens with Buckaroo Banzai, Ryan. I don't want to know. I want to know, Ryan.
I think we could make the watermelon a metaphor for some of the things in this movie.
There are a lot of companies. First of all, Marvel, when this movie came out, did a adaptation.
Oh, I bet you
did. Buckaroo Banzai. But multiple people after the fact, because there was never a sequel made. Mm-hmm. There was going to be one. It was like, what did it say, like versus the World Crime Syndicate or
something like that?
World Crime. Like,
somebody's
order,
got it tattooed
like
on themselves and they're screaming into their car right now.
Yeah.
It's the this. Sorry, I don't know.
There's some poor soul out there has that BB Buckaroo Banzai logo tattooed on their body.
There's probably a bunch of people who do.
Oh no, lasers! I'll pay for it. Not really. I don't have the money for it. I'm sorry, You poor schmucks. But no, like that, there have been people who've written comics about it and stuff. And like, I can understand the appeal. Like, it's a cult movie. It's like, you know, some people will argue, I could show somebody Rocky Horror Picture Show and they'd argue the same thing. They'd be like, this was stupid. But I remember that movie very fondly. I remember having fond memories of like, this is the weird, wacky thing that I like. I feel like I shouldn't be watching this. This is too grown up for me. I don't know. Is there anybody out there who disagrees with me? Please feel free to write in. This is like, I bet you this is the one we're going to get letters about. Like, Ian's a dummy. I'm like, listen, Uckland, you're allowed to like what you like. You know, I'm not saying every opinion is valid, including mine being that I don't really care for it as much. But your opinion of you might love it, you might think it's the best movie ever, is totally valid. And I get it. And I'd love to hear why you think so. Because honestly, some of the points Ryan's brought up makes me want to go, okay, let's give it like a year. Then I'll watch it again with that in mind. And I bet you I'll probably like it a lot more. Maybe it's just the first run through that I just didn't care for again. I don't know. Only time will tell, Ryan. Only time will tell. What was it that Buck Rubens I said? What was it? What was his catchphrase they said?
Wherever you go,
there you are.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need to go to the future and there I'll be.
The comic that thought. Came out in 2006 and then several more issues, 2007, 2009, written by the writer.
Oh, okay.
Of the film.
Oh, so it's like every issue is a third issue that I don't know.
There's also a tabletop role-playing game.
They were working on a second movie and they also were going to work on a television pilot.
Yeah, on Fox.
On Fox, like. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a video
in 1998. Yeah. Buckaroo Banzai Against the World Crime League is the name of the proposed sequel that it announces in the credits, which will never happen. Well, I mean, I guess it could.
It could. You know, there's somebody out there who's like, oh man, I'm going to write that fan fiction. It's going to happen.
Oh, I'm sure that there's like probably tons of Buckaroo Banzai fan fiction.
All right, Ryan. So we've gabbed enough. Let's put this to rest for now. I feel like we're not in an impasse. You've opened my eyes a little bit more to it. And I'm not as... Ryan, I'm not going to quit the show.
Oh, good. Good, because I mean, I good, do have
this was my idea. This is my idea to watch.
Not yeah, this was your idea.
I know. All right. Well, Ryan, what do you want to rate this? What do you want to rate this movie?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to give this 4 watermelons.
4 watermelons out of 10?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go slightly lower. I think I gave, what did I give Godzilla? Two or one, something like that.
Somewhere in there.
I'm going to go ahead and give this, what is this thing called again?
The oscillation overthruster?
Yes, 3 oscillation overthrusters out of 10.
All right.
I feel like maybe if I watch this again in a year, I'll change my mind. Maybe some of you can write us some letters and change my mind.
Yeah, those
on
of
this.
You who are in the cult of Buckaroo Banzai, who
explain
are,
us.
Who are the what are they call the wild, the blazing blue irregulars?
Yes. What was the name of his band? The
Across the Eighth Dimension.
No, that was what happened in the movie. It was, I know there's people screaming at us right now.
Yeah, I know.
But what is the name of his band? It's Buckaroo Banzai and the
Hong Kong Cavaliers.
Hong Kong Cavaliers. So I'm sure there's probably a group of you Hong Kong Cavaliers out there who are like, yeah, like totally, you need to do this, watch it again, and then you need to blaze listening music and play Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon with the lights off and your eyes closed while you watch it. Like,
holding your breath half the time.
Holding your breath, singing I'm a Little Teapot. Then the movie makes perfect sense. But yeah, like, let us know what you think. Let us know why you think a certain thing. We actually did get I want to address this. We actually did get a bit of fan mail from we actually got our first letter.
Aww.
From Trevor.
Hi, Trevor.
But it was about Godzilla.
Oh yeah, that's a movie that we watched.
The old one versus the new one, and I've seen the new one when it first came out. And Ryan,
sorry,
you're still yet to see
I still
it.
Haven't seen it.
So I don't want to really spoil the movie for Ryan. I actually, it's funny as I read the
Trevor's
email.
Does it have like a big like radioactive monster in it?
Yeah, I think that. But he makes a comparison about the 99 Godzilla or 98 Godzilla to the 2014 Godzilla, and some differences, some things that were done better, and some things honestly that were done better. And I didn't think about it, were maybe done possibly better a little bit in the older one. Yeah. So
is that possible?
If that's any
Like Whistling Singing in the Rain?
Yeah, I guess. If there's any inspiration for you to go down and put down some your two bits for Godzilla, this would be it, so I can read you this letter. So whenever you get around to seeing it, let me know and then we'll bring this up.
Yeah, we'll
but Trevor
it.
Let you know we have not forgotten about your letter. We appreciate your listenership, and I hope that this episode hasn't been like, gosh, that guy Ian's such a whiner. I am a little bit of a whiner though.
Such a whiner.
So, all right. So Buckaroo Banzai, for now, we're going to go ahead and put the brakes on our super fast dimension
jet
splitting
car,
jet car, yeah. And let's talk about the movie, though, that we're going to be watching next time. So, Ryan, what are we watching next time? After I made this choice,
oh, man.
I feel like you get to choose.
Oh, yeah. No, so I've got a heck of a movie waiting up for you.
Okay.
I have a classic. It was shot, actually, mostly locally here in Irvine, California.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Demolition Man.
I've never seen Demolition
really?
Man. No.
Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, Sandra Bullock. Takes place in the future. Oh, you're in for a treat.
All right, I'm excited.
I'll give you a little preview. It's a world in which the only restaurant is Taco Bell.
Oh, man, you sold. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to my bantering, my whining about Buckaroo Banzai. I promise I'll give it another shot and I'll try. I'll try
in
real
like a couple
hard.
Of years.
Not even a couple of years. I'll try. You know what? I'll even say maybe within the next 2 months I'll watch it again. I'll do it for all of you. If we get some fan mail telling us why I should give it another shot, Ryan has 1 point. I need 3 points that I can agree with. And if I get those 3 points, like 3 well thought arguments on why I should watch it again, then I'll watch it again within 2 months. And so you have 2 months.
And maybe we'll record a commentary.
Yes. Or we'll do a little like catch up. Like, so Ian, you watched it again. What did you think? Okay. So that is going to do it for Super Action Bros this time around. We want to thank you for listening as always. And we appreciate you guys listening. Let us know what you guys think. Reach out. Let us know if there's any movies you'd like us to watch. We got some cool stuff planned for you in the future.
We
would like to keep it a secret, but a movie after Demolition Man, we have something, a real treat planned for you for the month of July. You just wait. July is going to be a fun month.
Yeah, it is.
So, so thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. And we want to invite you to come back next time. We're going to talk about Demolition Man.
Yeah, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian.
Remember, whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster, we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.